Trains is here.
Sponsored by Stanley Kubrick.
It's not Star Wars, it's
Oh, come on.
Hello and welcome to Tin Trains. That was Mission of Burma with Secrets from their one and only album Versus.
It's a bit epic.
Yeah. Well, this isn't Mission of Burma.
Well, both are epic.
Both are epic, yeah. We've got Nick here. Hello, Nick.
Hi, guys.
Don't speak too loudly, your mic's shit. How are you? It's been a long time.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm all the better for hearing this song.
I could listen to this every morning.
It's a parry. It's a good alarm call. It's an ideal world.
Also, Sprach Zarathustra.
From Stanley Kubrick's Space Odyssey, mainly.
But in an ideal world, I'd have an alarm call that started with that song. As it opened up, I'd have my blinds open my room slowly. And a shaft of light down to my bed, lighting me up for the morning.
And a monolith.
But I never wake up in the time for the sun, so I'd have difficulty finding the sunlight with my curtains open.
Indeed. So, Nick, what have you been up to since you were last on? You got a job?
Yeah, I got a job. I work at a bowling alley, a 50-star bowling alley down by UCL called Bloomsbury Lanes. And I'm now a bartender at a 50s bowling alley.
And you've been promoted several times, haven't you?
Promoted, yes, several times. I've gone from a £5.50 wage to a £7 wage now.
Wow.
I'm bar supervisor, nighttime supervisor only.
What's the best thing about working at Bloomsbury Lanes?
Free bowling and booze.
Free booze, I'll put it on the tab.
Yeah, the tab system.
The tab. And you got a free massive pot last night that you brought home.
Oh yeah, last night I got the biggest pot ever.
Three babies in there.
You could easily fit three babies.
How much do you reckon it holds? Like 50 litres?
More. Maybe 70?
We were discussing several things you could do with it. And if the listeners have any suggestions you could do with a 50 litre pot, email in studio@rarefm.co.uk, rare plus your message to 6300, or go to rarefm.co.uk and leave us a message with your name or a fake name.
I've got a good idea for the pot.
What?
You could take 180 aborted fetuses, blend them together, and use it as a face product using all the stem cells.
That's disgusting. I was thinking more like just make a huge vat of...
I'm chilly. I think a chili would be good to go.
Or fruit punch for a party.
Ooh, it'd make a great...
Did you see that thing that Bompas and Pa, everyone's UCL's very own jelly master craftsman made? They made a floating punch bowl thing which you can row across.
Wow.
And dip your glass in.
How big is it?
I don't know. Pretty big.
I always imagined having a Playmobil swimming pool, using it for that.
Yeah, I was thinking Barbie and Ken party.
Oh, I can float my Queen Mary boat, Airfix model I made.
The possibilities are endless.
Wow, yeah.
If the listeners have any more suggestions.
But mostly babies.
studio@rarefm.co.uk. Okay, Nick, it's time for a song.
My first song is The Beatles' Here Comes the Sun, because at the moment we've just entered the frozen spring. It's kicking out there, kicking away the winter. And it's lovely and sunny, thanks to the high pressure system currently over London. So, go the Beatles.
to outer space. Find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space.
That was The Prodigy with Outer Space.
Indeed it was, and it's time for Breakfast Banter. Almost.
How do you like your eggs?
Well, how do you like your eggs in the morning? I like mine Spanish.
I like mine cooked in olive oil with a little bit of parsley and chives sprinkled over the top.
I always like poached egg.
No.
Well, you just had to be different, didn't you, Nick?
Yeah.
Well, I can't.
Today we went to Camino, which was a random find by Desai.
Yeah, completely random.
Yeah, really random. Because we were planning to go to the Brill, which looks brilliant.
I think that's why it's called the Brill, isn't it?
Yeah. But apparently it's so brilliant that it has to be closed on a Sunday when you need a breakfast.
Indeed. Yeah. So Desai did a quick
scout mission, and just opposite the Brill, down a winding little alleyway, in some weird sort of complex.
A trendy area.
Bit of a trendy area.
There's a trendy little bar that does breakfast called Camino.
Yeah, it's a Spanish restaurant slash bar. And
we all got the full Spanish rather than the full English.
With an orange juice.
And the Spanish comes with eggs, bacon, as normal. But it also comes with like a salad comes and some potatoes.
Potato and some peppers.
Some peppers.
And some kind of chorizo, but not chorizo.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you took a chipolata, and you took a chorizo, and you just pushed them together really quick. Then you'd get a chipolata.
Chipolata.
Yeah. Let's call it a chirata.
Yeah.
Chirata.
So,
Or chipizo.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That was good.
I thought it was good. I don't know, I like chorizo, but I wasn't sure entirely about it as breakfast.
It worked.
It was
really
nice.
Well, yeah.
And there's a little bit of French bread toast as well.
I thought it was perfect for brunch, actually.
Indeed,
it was
brunch.
Great brunch.
And the orange juice was good, except it didn't have any pulp.
But I love the way when you walked in, you just got hit by the aroma of citrus.
Yeah, and the jazz music.
Yeah.
It was good.
I don't know, I quite like orange juice without too much pulp. I always find the pulpy orange juice just overrated.
You know what
it tastes eggy. Like, now that you have an orange juice, it tastes a bit egg at the end. Like, oh.
What I enjoyed about the place is it's the mark of a good place. They have a jug of tap water out there for you. And, you know.
Also, the staff are very friendly. Rob left his camera there and they returned it immediately.
Yeah. They did.
And he didn't even leave a tip.
Oh, shut up. I was already out of the restaurant by the time they gave
it to
you.
But that's another reason why I quite enjoyed this place. The fact that it was self-service.
Well, you have to go to the bar to pay, but then you get to leave as soon as you finish eating.
Yeah, no, none of this waiting around. None of this having to give a tip.
Indeed.
Well, I sound like a horrible person now.
So let's rate it.
4.5.
4 spoons for me.
4.5. Where does that leave it in the rankings, then?
I have no idea. We should...
I think Breakfast Club is number one.
Yeah, because I gave that a 5.
Then the Providors, and then that.
So that was Camino, down by King's Cross. You have
postcode?
To kind of search it out. Postcode is N19FD.
There we go.
It must be just outside the WC area, because literally across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, in honour of Camino, I'm going to play a song called El Camino's in the West by Granddaddy.
Sweet song.
Do 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 Bye.
That was The Cribs and Moving Pictures, which brings on to our next topic.
Wait, let's just say hello to a few people before that. Georgina's listening.
Hello.
Nick's bringing in all
Georgina,
the...
Georgina, Charlotte, Alex, Duncan.
It brings all the girls to the yard.
They're like, it's better than yours.
Anyway, Moving Pictures, what were you saying?
That brings on to our new topic, our next topic, which is Moving Pictures, or 2001, A Space Odyssey.
The moving picture.
The moving picture of the century.
Moving in all senses.
Last century.
The last bit. Oh,
wow.
It's freaky.
Indeed.
But yeah, so last night we went over to Rock Squad's house. I had a lovely chicken roast dinner.
Oh, beautiful.
A great dessert. And then we sat down and watched Space Odyssey 2001 with Mike Afro, Us Three, Chris, and Neil Chowdhury.
Every
Neil
time Chowdhury. You watch that film, it's like you see something new.
Yeah, it gets never better gets and better. Yeah.
I don't ever feel I'm watching it, though. I feel like I'm a sponge absorbing it.
You do feel like you're being slowly sucked into the film. It's very hypnotising.
I did sleep through most of it, though, in honestness.
Yeah, honesty, not honestness.
I quite like the word honestness. We woke you up for the
good bit, for the trophy bit. So, does anyone know what happens at the end?
We know what kind of happens, but what it means is the real thing.
Well, firstly, he ends up in that room. Well, who built the room?
Aliens.
The
invisible
people
aliens.
Who made the monolith.
The aliens who brought the monolith, yeah.
Okay, fine.
I think the whole...
I'm quite happy with that after reading the book.
I think the whole space...
That aliens built the monolith.
Yeah. I always think the whole space trippiness bit is because... I love this music. It's because, like... You can see him go through space, and then as you get nearer to the world, you see this alien landscape, which is our landscape scenes with alien colours over it.
Yeah.
It implies that someone's taken him somewhere.
Mm.
And obviously, because the way radio waves travel out, they would only have got, like, 17th century Baroque TV, so that would have been how they would design the room.
No, that's the theory, isn't it, that they designed it on their... whatever. I spent a lot of time looking at theories of 2001 last night.
Come on then, hit me with some interesting ones.
Well, let's just say that the main theme of Space Odyssey, that that's from Strauss's Thus Spoke Zarathustra, which is also based on Nietzsche's book, also titled the same thing. And Nietzsche's book was all about how man is the link between the ape and the superhuman.
Okay.
And the journey from the ape to the superhuman.
So are we nearer to the ape or the superhuman in our current evolutionary state?
It's talking how the human, man, is an unstable form that could at any point abort itself.
Okay.
And almost does abort itself when it takes a mistaken pathway of evolution by evolving towards making these machines like HAL.
HAL. I hate HAL.
HAL. He scares the hell out of me, does HAL.
Just the whole apathetic voice. Well, that's certainly an interesting theory. Does that explain Star Child?
Kind of. No, I kind of know. I understand, like, vaguely what Mark Afro was talking about, but it's really about the meaning. Like, I just still don't particularly... It's really about the meaning. Like, I just still don't particularly get it now.
Okay.
Me neither.
And as far as theories go, Nick, you have something about a Mighty Boosh and hoist theory.
Oh, I have a Mighty Boosh theory. The other night, I was up till 7 in the morning with Georgina listening to Spotify songs, mainly classical music from films.
Nice.
And I was listening to Hoist the Planets. I think it's Saturn. Yeah. If you could play that on Spotify in a second, and then play the Mighty Boosh intro, you will notice some surprising similarities to the Mighty Boosh intro.
Well, Saturn is the original planet that they were meant to be going to, Jupiter, but Stanley Kubrick couldn't make a decent enough model of Saturn's rings, so he decided to make Jupiter instead.
Really?
Yeah, the book Saturn.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Facts of the day from the south.
I prefer Jupiter, it's quite a big red planet, where Saturn's a bit, like, it's got rings and shit, but, you know, it's just its braces, one of its trousers.
Yeah, so, Space Odyssey, if you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your life? It's a 10 out of 10 film.
It is a 10 out of 10. I really want to go. I want to see that at the IMAX. So.
Yeah, but it's made in the 60s. It wouldn't hold up on the IMAX. It'd be pixelated and everything.
No,
imagine that, like, a huge screen and then, like, with surround sound.
Deep
like,
bass.
Massive, loud
the
sound.
The Lee sound would just make me crap my pants in that atmosphere.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's scary.
Because I fell asleep during it and I had some really freaky dreams about my sister being in a coma. And I woke up at the high point of the Lee, 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 Lee. And I was like, oh, fuck me, this was freaky. Yeah.
Freaky ass music. Kubrick is a genius. So because we're so obsessed with Space Odyssey today, DeSalle's chosen all space songs. That's why you chose Out of Space.
Exactly.
And are you picking the next song?
I am indeed. Well, the next song I shall be playing is, well, I must, yeah, pretty much directly influenced by Space Odyssey, the film. And it's Space Oddity by David Bowie.
Mike just thinks, we'll come back to that. I just wanted to read out one of Mike Afra, who thinks he understands the whole film when he obviously doesn't. He says the room is just his setting for the transition from normal human to Starchild. But why? Why does he transition?
Yeah, come on. There's more to it. It's Kubrick. It's in The Shining when he changes the colour of the phone between Sheik.
I was reading an interview with Kubrick, and it might be Arthur C. Clarke. I can't remember. It was one of the two. They basically wrote the film together. And it was saying how one of them said that if anyone watches the film and thinks they understand it, they don't get the film.
Well then,
he said no, but then he's then said it's not that it's meaningless, but it's the meaning is beyond our human comprehension.
So how did he write it?
I have no idea.
Anyway, let's get on with some more lighthearted stuff. This is Space Oddity by David Bowie.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition,
1.
And may God's love
lift
be
off
with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door. Stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can, far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
Thank you.
Space Oddity by David Bowie. That was pretty awesome.
It was a pretty epic tune.
It is.
A pretty epic song so far, this show.
So this morning brought the sad news of the passing of Mark Linkous, who,
yeah,
I guess people outside the indie community won't know so much, but he was better known as his stage name Sparkle Horse, and he brought out several amazing albums under that name. But I mean, if you just listen to any of his songs, you can tell he's always been depressed, and he eventually committed suicide yesterday or the day before, but the news came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was actually pretty upset about it, because Mark Linkous has been one of my favorite artists for a long time. I remember first getting into Mark Linkous when I was reading about Radiohead, and he supported them on tour, and Colin Greenwood said, oh, we love Sparkle Horse, we'd love to be Sparkle Horse's manager and make t-shirts that say Radiohead says buy fucking Sparkle Horse records. So after that, I definitely had to listen to him, and I didn't listen to him that often, and I always found him more of a winter time listen, because his albums are quite melancholic, like, and but whenever I did listen, it was always one of the most rewarding things, and I think it's a good chance for lots of other people to get into him. And last year, if you want to get into him, I suppose the easiest way would probably be listening to his album that came out. Well, it didn't actually come out last year.
Or is about to come out.
It was supposed to come out last year. He did a collaboration with Danger Mouse and lots of other people, including like James Mercer. And
Flaming Lips.
Flaming Lips. It's called Dark Night of the Soul. It was supposed to come out last year, but because of complications with EMI, they wouldn't let it be released. But it's coming out soon, this summer, I think. But anyway,
they literally committed suicide like 2 or 3 days after it got announced
that it was actually going to be finally released. But his true genius work was as Sparkle Horse, and I want to play a song. I was trying to pick a song to choose to that would like perfectly sum up his work, and I don't know, all of his stuff is amazing and would have worked perfectly, but in the end I decided to go for Sad and Beautiful World from his first album Viva Dixie Submarine Transmission Plot, which is all one word. So rest in peace, Mark Linkous. This is Sad and Beautiful World. Sad and Beautiful World by Sparkle Horse, aka Mark Linkous, dead at no one knows how old he was, it actually
like
turns
that.
Out.
I've never heard really? Sparkle Horse before.
Yeah, I hope more people listen to him now. Hopefully, we never know. Anyway, yeah, no one knows how old he is. How weird is that? I would say
he was quite old, wasn't he?
He definitely wasn't. He wasn't 40. I don't think he was 40.
Really?
Anyway, it's time for Dream Analysis.
Everyone's favourite bit of the show.
Really? Is it your favourite bit?
No.
Well, then, there you go. Dream analysis. All right, let me just find the dream. This week's dream is sent in by the girlfriend of our one of our favourite listeners and previous co-presenter Flo.
There's a guy at work called Flo.
A guy.
Yeah, his name's Florence, and he's French.
Florenzo.
So we call him Flo.
Really?
But there's also a guy called Lorenzo, and then when we want both their attention at the same time, we call him Florenzo.
Genius. Pure genius.
Anyway, let's just get on with the dream. Okay. It features a lot of Tom Allen in it, so... Okay.
Wow, okay. I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Okay. It starts off with Tom Allen in a Frodo lookalike contest, which actually included the real-life Frodo, which I'm not sure if she means, like, Frodo, or if she means,
What's his name?
You know, the guy...
Elijah Wood.
But he won against Elijah Wood / real-life Frodo. So then they went off to a big field, I guess, to celebrate. Then he put on a lot of makeup and stuff and made half of his body into an Uruk-hai. Right? But the other half stayed Frodo-like, which I guess is just Tom Allen-like. Because he does kind
of
look...
Would this be on a vertical split or horizontal?
I would say a horizontal split. I reckon legs downwards was Uruk-hai. And top half was Frodo. Okay. And then he decided to go off to a big orc party... but Flo wasn't allowed to go because Tom wouldn't let him. And she was upset. And then he rode away really fast on the horse. So she was just standing around still in the field. And then later three more horses came up to Flo in the field and started harassing her while she was left on her own. And then they started eating her. And strangely, it didn't hurt at all. And then later, another big horse came back and ate her head. And that was the end of the dream.
Interesting. Nick, you sound like you've got something to say there.
Maybe.
Apparently it was a vertical split, not a horizontal split.
Oh.
That's pretty effed
messy.
Up.
I was just going to say, the not being able to feel being eaten might be reminiscent of watching an episode of House where a girl could not feel pain. And so they had to cause pain to figure out what was wrong with her because you couldn't tell them where the pain was.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
That's interesting. Well, DeSalle, it's over to you.
What do I think of that? Well, first off, Tom Allen, Frodo. I see the similarities.
I definitely see the similarities.
It doesn't take any imagination.
But he's a bit tall.
Yeah, but I mean, Elijah Wood's not Frodo size.
Oh, you just ruined the illusion for me.
Maybe there was just dream camera trickery in it, like in Lord of the Rings. And then maybe they employed midgets now and then in certain scenes.
But anyway, getting on to it. The Uruk-hai split. I think this is Tom Allen discovering the dark. He's been trying to conceal his dark, evil side of him. But it's finally come out. And it's started to take him over. He's tried to hide it for too long. And boom.
Flo's finally seeing it.
And Flo's seen it. Tom's going off to all these crazy parties with all the other evil people. The Uruk-hai, all the other orcs. And Flo's left behind. Tom's being consumed. And... all Flo can do is stand.
No, Flo is being consumed. Tom's gone.
Wait, oh.
Oh, Tom's being consumed by the party lifestyle.
Yeah, Tom's being consumed by the party lifestyle and the evil, whereas Flo's left alone. She makes a stand. Does she make a stand or is she left there? Does she even want to be consumed as an evil by evilness?
That's what you're supposed to tell me.
But she does. But she does get consumed by the evil eventually. But
by horses.
By the horses, exactly. The evil horses.
Evil horses.
So she gets rejected. So the evil causes her to get rejected by Tom Allen. But then almost as a way because she wants to follow.
No, wait. She rejects Tom Allen because he's evil. But then she decides that the evil's going to eat at her because she loves Tom Allen too much.
She loves Tom Allen so much that she decides to get consumed by the evil horses as well. In the same way, Tom Allen is being consumed by the Uruk-hai.
Interesting. So there you go.
I think this is essentially don't be evil. and really, that's quite a weird dream flow. That's real weirdo.
Dream analysis with the salt.
Another patient cured, I feel.
I think that's beautiful, yeah.
You're like Frasier for the whole world.
Yeah, this is the Frasier radio show. We've got How Do You Like Your Eggs in the Morning? We've got this little segment.
Indeed. Well, it all works so well. We're definitely Frasier.
It's almost as if we were professional.
Okay.
At least semi-pro.
On Thursday night, Nick and I went to a gig, didn't we, Nick?
Yeah, we went to a free gig at Coco.
Well, it wasn't free. It was free for us because I'm special.
Well, that's who it counted for at the most. I didn't care about the other fuckers there.
Well, that girl in front of us was pretty annoying.
Oh my god, there was this dancing girl. She kept dancing backwards.
That's so annoying when people go into you at gigs backwards.
Like, you dance forward in the gig because then you're aware of your space, but she just kept leaning back and swinging her arms. She kept
I hate when you get hair in the face at a gig.
Yeah, she whipped me with her ponytail a few times.
All the time. And her friend next to her was kind of there, consciously aware that her friend was being a tit. But they were Portuguese, so we couldn't really say anything.
We should say what the gig was. It was Wild Beasts, who are amazing.
It was
at Coco.
Ever played, wasn't it?
Yeah, biggest gig they ever played at Coco. I think they should be playing much bigger gigs.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the Support Erland and the Carnival new full-time hobby signing. They were pretty decent, weren't they?
Yeah, I really did. Like, we were saying afterwards, I think they're a bit Coral-esque.
Yeah, they reminded me of the Coral a lot.
Nice open guitar sound, but also they reminded me of Maximo Park and Kaiser Chiefs with the whole synth guy in the back. There's a little fat guy in the back corner playing the synth all the way through, sat on the floor, discreetly. It was quite strange.
And they played pretty well and confidently for a band who's only got 80 followers on Twitter.
Wow. I almost got Rob Beats them, in fact. Yeah.
And then Wild Beasts were amazing. They played most of Two Dancers and quite a lot of their first album, Limbo Panto, and they were tight, they were loud. The sound was pretty good in Coco for once. Normally it's quite dodgy.
I don't know, I think it suits their sound though, because they're quite an open thing.
Yeah.
Coco does just suck the sound out of the space really easily.
Yeah, and the lighting was amazing.
Lighting was awesome.
They didn't really have any front lighting, but they had like a starry background and lighting from the side. It was quite cool. They looked like silhouettes quite a lot of the time.
The only bad thing about it was they tuned a lot and they changed their instruments a lot, which kind of, after a while, was like, when's the next song?
Yeah, but it did make the song sound better for it. And his voice, well, both of their voices are amazing live. Yeah. Like on record, you think they probably take loads of takes to get it right, but he gets it
spot on
at all the
time. I can imagine.
I felt, the deeper sounding guy, that I guess what maybe technically would be called the bassist.
But they switched around quite a lot.
They switched so much with the instruments. He has just got such a better voice live, I felt. I think it was better than his album voice. So, I don't know, it was one of the best gigs I've seen in my lifetime. In the top five, maybe Flaming Lips and Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, I think it's my best gig of 2010 so far.
Yeah. We Are Scientists the other week, that was pretty good, but not as good as Wild Beasts.
No. Anyway, let's play a song. We're going to start off with the support band Erland and the Carnival and then go into Wild Beasts. I hope you enjoy.
Oh, in the sand. Any rival who goes for our girls will be left thumb sucking in terror and bereft of our coffin bearers.
Now it's time for Queen Watch with Nick Taylor.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in the country of Zuma currently. The Queen is being greeted by the National Zuma Choir. I believe they're
going to play
the Queen just now. Here we go. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the National Anthem.
This is an indigenous band.
Indeed. And what instrument would that be?
I believe they're using a native kazoo made out of pure native wood. I believe the King Zuma is here.
notorious for destroying the bubbles and saving the Amazonian people.
Really? Well, what is the Queen doing here, fraternizing with him?
Why is the Queen meeting this Zuma?
Well, currently the Queen is doing her video game tour, sponsored by Nintendo. This week she's seeing Zuma by Popsoft Games, who also created Peggle. Next week she's going to be in Donkey Kong Country.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, will you be there reporting for us?
I shall be reporting from Donkey Kong Country.
Well, thank you, Nick Taylor, for that report from Zuma. And now back to Tin Trains in the studio.
Wow, that was a quick external little report there by Nick Taylor. Yeah, and he's already back.
Yep, quick flight.
Teleportation.
Yeah.
And because we took so long coming up with that little piece of rubbish, we have no idea what we're going to talk about.
I want to talk about OK Go and their new video.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about OK Go's new video. OK Go, known for making amazing videos, have outdone themselves again. They were known for that one on the
treadmills.
The treadmills, yeah. And they did another dancing one that was all done in one take.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, where the screen kept the like stills, like a picture rather than video.
Basically, they're known for doing one take videos, and this one is an epic domino.
Rube Goldberger's machine.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
That's what they're called, yeah.
And it goes through. What are the different things it goes through? Just like,
I don't know. It starts off with just a little domino run over the record. I say.
Which starts the song, which starts mainly kind of ball runs.
It starts, and if you notice, I keep on watching it over and over again. The ball run, as they hit different balls, it's each time it hits another ball is on there, it's like on a drum beat and things like that.
Yeah, they've timed it with the music pretty well.
Oh yeah, there's that great bit where it stops.
Yeah, the music just cuts out.
The guitar swings around with spoons on it, hitting glass objects playing the song.
Yeah, it's pretty epic. What's the song called?
This Too
Must Pass.
This Too Shall Pass. The song's not that great, but it's worth watching for the video.
I'm starting to like the song because I'm watching the video search. It's working on me.
Today's big thing, 70 Million by some French band. They have a great music video where they're all like acting out famous photos and pictures.
Not photos, pictures, paintings.
They're all famous paintings.
Paintings, that's one word I was looking for. They are pictures.
Was it 70 Million by some band? They're both great. I'm going to go put them on the blog right now as we're playing the next song, which is What to Sell.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are floating in space.
Continuing with your space theme, eh?
Exactly.
Great song.
And when we're floating in space. Giant step each day. All I want in life's a little bit of love to take the pain away. Getting strong today. A giant step each day. All I want in life's a little bit of love to take the pain away. Getting strong today. A giant step.
Yeah.
So that was Blur.
Message Center.
Trouble in the Message Center.
Ooh.
Damon Albarn, of course, has a new album out tomorrow. Not as Blur, but as Gorillaz. It's called Plastic Beach, and it's been able to you've been able to stream it on The Guardian all week. What do you think of it, Giselle?
I love it. Every listen of it, I like it even more.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate grower. I mean, it gets better on every listen, and it's like a really fast grower.
That's definitely what I'd call it. It is a grower.
I find all of Damon Albarn's Gorillaz albums growers. Like, every time I listen to them, I'm like, and then every time I get it a bit more, and it makes a bit more sense.
I think this one especially, because there's no obvious singles or pop singles.
On the Demon days, like Feel Good Inc. and Dare and stuff like that jumped out on first list. On this one, there's nothing that really catches your ear on first listen, but the more you listen to it, the more like certain melodies and synth lines kind of jump out at you. The lyrics, like there's one song white flag that I didn't really like on first listen, but I started to listen to like the lyrics, especially Kano's verse on it.
I used really to hate good. Bash's bit on it when I first heard it, but now it's even that's starting to grow on me.
I like the fact that he lends his voice to it more than he did. He doesn't really sing much or uses other voices, and unless he sings a lot, and it sounds a lot more like the Blur stuff.
There's quite a lot of Damon song tracks, so good album. Go buy it tomorrow, or it'll probably be on Spotify from tomorrow, I guess.
Or download it illegally.
Oh, I don't say that.
We were at FOP the other day with Zoe and Chris, and we were just looking at the albums, and Zoe very loudly goes, "Oh, just download it when I get home."
Yeah. It's like, "Oh my god, look, Alkaline Trio has a new album." "Oh, I'll just download it when I get home."
I bought a Van Morrison's Moondance.
Good album.
Yeah.
On vinyl, of course.
So we were going to talk about, I mean, it's not the most original of topics, but I think this week merits it more than most others, how terrible Pi Magazine and Pi Newspaper is.
Oh my gosh. This week is the worst it's been for a while.
Pi Magazine is...
I'd almost starting to forgive quite a bit of Pi, but wow.
What was the first error that jumped out at you?
This is the real reason why we're doing this section. I'll read. This is from The Truth About Drugs, the editorial piece. In terms of experiences, the majority, at 48%, has never had any bad effects from illegal drug use. The majority, 48%.
I don't know who does the maths at Pi, but they can't do English. They certainly can't do maths.
Yeah.
Pi's just shocking. I think it's only just high-class toilet paper.
It's not even good toilet paper.
They bring out a magazine and a newspaper. I think they're overstretching themselves.
And let's the recent issue of the newspaper slagging off Rare FM somewhat as well.
Yeah.
What was this about Rare FM?
They said it's not being played in the union because President Ben Lawrence said it wasn't good enough, but that wasn't true at all.
Fabricating lies. Bastards. They never get real journalists.
Yeah. Well, what do you call them? The people who get voted? Sabbatical officer Grace Barnett is out soon anyway.
Yeah.
It's coming to the end of her term, thank God.
Who's Grace Barnett?
The sabbatical officer for whatever
Communications and services.
Yeah.
And Shit Pi Magazine.
Pi Magazine. Anyway, let's play a song. It's, this is a request from my dad. Classic song, White a Shade of Pale.
Oh, I remember we went to that diner place and they had it on the jukebox thing, and you said, "Oh, this is my dad's favourite song."
Yeah, one of his favourite songs, definitely. Was that Ed's Diner?
Ed's Diner, yeah.
There's one at Euston.
Oh, there's one at Euston,
Open
really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Just right next door to Pret, or next to...
Yeah, it is next to Pret. Yeah. Do you want to go there next?
No.
No, I'm still pretty full from breakfast.
I'm getting free dinner tonight.
This is a White a Shade of Pale by Procol Harum.
Skip the light, fandango. but I wander through my playing cards. Would not let her be. 116 vessel virgins were leaving for the coast. Just as well have been closed. And so it was the later, as the miller told his tale, that her face at first just ghostly turned the whiter shade. Thank you.
was Broken Bells with The Ghost Inside. Broken Bells are...
I really like it, yeah.
Broken Bells are James Mercer
They're
and Dangerous.
They're playing a show.
They played a couple of days
ago. It was a bit Gorillaz-esque, that.
Maybe. Well, I really like James Mercer's voice. I reckon they probably met
It's
while.
Danger Mouse, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, Danger Mouse.
He did Demon Days.
Demon, no, yeah, he produced Demon Days. Yeah. Yeah. I reckon James Mercer of The Shins probably met Danger Mouse while they were doing Dark Night of the Soul, because James Mercer,
oh, yeah, he is,
James
isn't
Mercer
he?
Is on one of the tracks.
Yeah.
Sparkle Horse and all them. So, from horses to guinea pigs.
Wow. Yes,
you like
indeed.
That leap? Giselle found an interesting link on the internet this week, didn't you?
I have to actually give the
acknowledgement
to Charlie for this one.
Charlie Q?
Yeah, the one and only. And, well, everyone... I don't know anyone who doesn't enjoy a good bit of animals in clothes.
I wouldn't like to put animals in clothes, but I like to laugh at the people who put animals in clothes.
I like that scene in Anchorman where they go to the cat kitty thing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
They're all dressed up.
Yeah.
People don't actually do that in the world, though.
It's weird, isn't it?
People give their dogs little jackets when they go walking.
In you can buy like dog T-shirts in American Apparel.
Oh, have you seen the woman who are knitting little jumpers for hens who've been saving battery farm?
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though. I quite like that.
It's Wallace and Gromit-esque, isn't it?
Anyway, this link you found is for dressing up guinea pigs, and it's on the LA Weekly blog, laweekly.com. There's like a guinea pig dressed up in a wedding dress, dressed up as a bumblebee, Superman
like
ladybird,
the rabbit.
Why
genius.
Dress up as a guinea pig as a rabbit? Why don't you just buy a rabbit? And an army man.
And it's really, the army man one is really scary because it's got red eyes.
Why not dress a guinea pig up as a horse? I think that would look quite good.
How would that work?
Put a little saddle on it with a little
miniature,
action man figure
animals.
On the bottom. The
thing a is, guinea pig elephant.
It wouldn't look like a horse because it wouldn't have long enough legs.
Yeah.
No, it would look like a horse, but it wouldn't be a horse, Rob.
It wouldn't look like a horse.
Yeah, it would. It would have horsey ears, a horsey tail. I'll give it a mane. I'll call it Jeffrey.
It would look like a legless horse.
Did you ever see the South Park episode, like, Pandemic?
Yeah.
The pan flute bands all get captured, and in the end, guinea pigs that dress like animals come
out. Destroy the world, yeah.
Like the bee, the wasp ones, and stuff like that. I think we should get a guinea pig, Rob, and dress it up, and we can have a new pet every day. Dress it as a goldfish, and then we could put loads of, like blue-coloured ribbon in the tank, in its cage, so it looks like it's in a fish tank.
Like what they do in natural fish tanks. They get, like, a picture of a coral reef just to tease them.
We could get a fake like in this.
I feel sorry for the fish. The fish will try to swim off into it, just keep hitting themselves.
What else could we dress it as? I'd like an Elizabethan one with a Elizabethan collar.
I can imagine as some sort of taco.
A taco?
Yeah, just sort of like a taco show around there, and dress it up as like different vegetables.
Well, dress half his body in blue, and then blue screen it, and then you could have just a headless guinea pig in a cage, and record it on a webcam.
And put it on chat roulette, yeah.
Wow, all the things to do.
Indeed.
Yeah, we could dress up a chat roulette guinea pig.
What would chat roulette guinea pig look like? A masturbating man?
Yeah.
With fur shaved off.
Okay, I think it's time for Desal's song. What have you got?
What have I got? Well, Desal's ambient track of the week, and also, I think it's quite spacey. Eno with an ending ascent.
the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Brown.
That was for Mike Afro.
Yeah.
Before that, we had Brian Eno. Edwin, thanks you for playing that, because it was in a show that he did at the Edinburgh Festival. He never knew what it was, but now he does.
Yeah, it's
so
an
thank
epic
you to
tune.
Yourself for that. That was the reason we played Fire. Do we want to discuss that? It was kind of the soundtrack to our
to last night after the. Actually, that's. I think those two tunes sum up last night.
Yeah. The first one very spacey in Space Odyssey. Fire. After we finished watching Space Odyssey, we discussed it for a bit, and then somehow we got into lighting our own fires, which I never thought was actually possible.
Yeah, I didn't think it worked.
But it actually is. It's 100% possible.
I'm kind of ashamed that we're talking about this.
I'm not. We're men. We're infamous for Man Day.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a good way to leave it with the show for this week. Thank you for coming in, Nick.
No problem, guys. It's been lovely.
Thank you for coming in again, Dasar.
My pleasure.
Next week, we probably are going to have another guest, though we don't know who it's going to be, so if you want to be on...
Dun, dun, dun. Email in.
In 100 words, describe how you'd be the best host for the show.
Yeah.
Make it a Blue Peter competition.
Don't email the studio.
And in true Team America style, you need to really, really prove your determination to me.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
We never talked about our monolith. The whole monolith.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's not discuss that. No,
that's a lot of photoshopping to be done another time.
So I'm going to finish with a song by The Antlers, a band we talked about endlessly on the show, and I went to see them again on Wednesday, and they were pretty good. First half was kind of dodgy, second half was amazing, yeah?
Can we finish with the montage song from Team America?
No montage from Team America. We're
please.
No
montage. We're finishing with Epilogue by The Antlers. Thank you, and good night. Thank you.
bed beside you, to sleep I'm screaming, shoving you to try to wake you up. And look before you, got no interest in the life you live when you're awake. Your dreams still follow storylines like fictions you would make. So I lie down against your back till we're both back in the hospital. Now it's not the cancer ward, we're sleeping in the morgue. Men and women, blue and white, they are singing all around you. Heavy shovels holding earth, you're being buried to your neck in that hospital. Being buried quite alive now, I'm trying to dig you out, but all you wants to be buried there together. You're screaming, cursing, and angry, and hurting me, and then smiling and crying.
Peace.
bum 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 bum.
Tin trains, tin trains, tin trains, tin trains, tin
trains, tin
trains,
tin trains, tin trains, tin trains, tin trains.
The show. Is that how it goes?
No.
Every Sunday, 2 p.m. We're just freestyling. 3:30.
Oh gosh! I think I've heard something.
I'm glad we saved this for the episode.
Yeah, bye.